You know that feeling when your brain just feels completely overloaded? Stress at work, maybe anxiety about what's next, or, just feeling kind of lonely, or even wrestling with those huge life questions.
Yeah, absolutely. Where do you even begin to find some peace with all that?
Exactly. It's funny, we're pretty good at dealing with, say, a broken bone. You go straight to the doctor,
Right.
right?
Obvious fix.
But when it's your mental state, when your mind's hurting, it often feels, well, invisible, something you're just supposed to tough out.
That's such a common experience, and it really highlights a gap, doesn't it? I mean, we talk more about mental well-being now,
You
sure,
do.
but finding ways to navigate those internal struggles that actually feel right for you,
Yeah.
especially if you don't really connect with traditional religious stuff, that can still be tricky.
Totally. And that's actually what we're diving into today. We're looking at one, Buddhism.
Okay.
It's a spiritual tradition started by great master Sotosan over 100 years ago. And you could almost think of it like, I don't know, a gym for your mind.
A mental gym. I like that.
Yeah. And look, if the word Buddhism makes you think, oh, that's not for me, definitely hang with us for a bit.
Right, because it's maybe not what you expect.
Exactly. One Buddhism really focuses on practical tools, things for mental well-being that you can weave into your everyday life. It's designed to be really inclusive and offer insights, even if you're someone who's pretty skeptical about traditional beliefs. Its core ideas, they're in this text called The General Principles of the Doctrine, and they feel surprisingly relevant for finding balance today.
What I find particularly interesting about it is how directly it aims to make these kinds of, let's say, mental and spiritual practices accessible
Accessible.
for pretty much everyone, regardless of, where you're coming from or what you already believe. It seems less about following a strict set of rules
Right.
and more about finding what genuinely works for you in your actual life.
So over the next little while, we're going to explore three key ways. One, Buddhism approaches this kind of mind training, how it helps you find more balance. We'll look at how it fits into your regular day. Its genuinely inclusive attitude towards all beliefs, even if you don't really believe in anything specific.
That's a big one.
Yeah. And some specific ideas, like this thing called the Ilwon Sang, that can become sort of personal tools for finding your center when everything feels chaotic.
Sounds good. Where should we start? Daily life.
Yeah, let's jump into how this actually works day to day in your routine.
Okay. Well, this is one area where one Buddhism really offers something quite different from some older forms of
How
Buddhism.
so?
As our sources point out, traditional Buddhist practice often centered on a monastic lifestyle.
Right, monks and nuns, separate from the world.
Exactly. Which, let's be honest, isn't really practical for most of us juggling work, studies, relationships, all the modern demands.
Not really, no.
So, one Buddhism takes a different path. It really emphasizes that your everyday life is the place for practice. That's the training ground.
Okay, so it's not about escaping your life to find enlightenment somewhere else. It's about finding ways to be more centered, more balanced within the life you already have.
Precisely.
And that feels super relevant, especially I think for younger people dealing with so many pressures, right?
Definitely.
Our sources give some examples that really kind of hit home. Like, think about being in a tense situation, maybe a disagreement with a friend or a stressful moment at work,
Okay.
and you pause, you take a second to breathe just to calm yourself down.
Yeah, that's simple pause.
In one Buddhism, that simple act, that's seen as self-cultivation.
Ah. Okay, so it's these small moments.
Exactly. Or just, saying thank you properly to someone who helped you out, showing genuine gratitude. That's considered gratitude for blessings. They aren't huge, complicated rituals. They're small, conscious actions that become part of your day.
And what's really compelling here, especially if you're someone maybe a bit wary of anything that feels like capital R religion,
Yeah.
is that there's no demand, really, to believe in a specific deity or follow complex ceremonies. Instead, one Buddhism offers these practical techniques, ways to manage your thoughts, your emotions, very similar in a way to stress management skills you might learn in therapy.
Like cognitive tools.
Exactly. The core idea is just that the ups and downs, the messy reality of your daily life, that's actually the perfect place to develop a stronger, more peaceful mind.
It's like your everyday experiences become the workout for your mental fitness. That makes sense. Now, let's shift to something else I found really interesting, how open one Buddhism seems to be. Its attitude towards different perspectives, it doesn't seem to push a this is the only way message, does it?
Not at all.
Yeah.
Actually, The general principles of the doctrine, that core text, explicitly states that the fundamental truths underlying all religions, they're essentially the same.
Really? All religions?
That's the idea. It's a really broad, welcoming viewpoint. One Buddhism tends to see the essential wisdom in various faiths, and importantly, even in non-religious views like atheism.
Including atheism, okay.
Yeah, seeing them as ultimately pointing towards a shared understanding of life or reality or whatever you want to call it. It doesn't try to impose its specific doctrines or, you know, dismiss other ways people make sense of the world.
Wow. That feels really important right now, especially when you just scroll online or watch the news and see so much conflict, so much division, often fueled by differences in belief.
It can be mentally exhausting just witnessing it, can it?
Totally exhausting.
Absolutely. And those kinds of divisions, they can definitely add to feelings of stress, isolation.
For sure.
Well, Buddhism offers a different angle. There's this concept of gratitude for fellow beings. I think the Korean term mentioned with one source is dongpo-un.
Dongpo-un. Okay.
It emphasizes seeing everyone as interconnected, like we're all companions on this journey, fostering mutual support, recognizing our shared humanity.
So treating people well, not because of a commandment, but because you recognize that connection.
Kind of, yeah. It becomes a foundation for better relationships, for a warmer, more supportive community, regardless of what specific beliefs anyone holds. It's a universal value, really.
So if someone listening is thinking, okay, but why do I need to subscribe to any particular belief system to find peace or meaning? What's the one Buddhist take on that?
Well, essentially the answer would be you don't have to. One of our Korean sources really highlights this openness. It suggests you can find your own meaning in life, your own way.
Find it your own way.
Yeah. And this non-judgmental stance, this lack of pressure, can be incredibly healing, actually, especially for any mental strain that comes from feeling conflicted about beliefs or feeling like an outsider.
Right, like you don't have to fit into a specific box.
Exactly. It positions one Buddhism less as a rigid religion you have to convert to, and more like a supportive guide, a kind of safe space for your mind where you're accepted as you are. Like a good counselor, maybe.
A non-pressured space for your mental well-being. I like that framing. Okay, so let's delve into the final area then. The Ilwon Sang and the actual practices. This sounds like where we get some concrete tools we can use.
That's right. At the heart of one Buddhist practice, you find the Ilwon Sang. It's represented visually by just a simple, empty circle.
Like, just circle, okay.
It's the central focus, but it's really vital to understand it's not a god or a deity in the traditional sense.
Not a personified being to pray to.
No. Instead, it's a symbol. It points towards the fundamental origin of everything in the universe and, crucially for this discussion, to the inherent center, the core of our own minds.
The center of our minds.
Yeah. As one of our Korean sources puts it, and this is a bit philosophical, but quite beautiful, something like, all phenomena share one substance, all principles share one origin. The Ilwon Sang represents this fundamental unity and interconnectedness.
Okay, so it's more of a deep philosophical symbol tied to life itself, rather than a figure you worship. How does that circle become a practical tool, though? Say you're feeling really overwhelmed. Exams coming up, big decision.
Right, the practical application. Our sources suggest a simple yet effective practice. In those moments when your mind feels like a whirlwind, you can just close your eyes, take a deep breath, and sort of gently ask yourself, where is the center of my mind?
Bringing your attention inward.
Exactly. This act of bringing the Ilwon Sang to mind, even if you just interpret it as accessing your own inner calm or the essence of who you are beneath the stress, it can be a powerful way to ground yourself, to quiet some of that mental noise.
That makes sense. It's like dropping an anchor in the middle of a storm of thoughts, finding that still point.
A reference point.
And besides the symbol, there are also more structured practices, aren't there? This threefold study thing.
Yes. The threefold study provides a kind of framework for actively developing that mental well-being. It's got three interconnected parts.
Okay, what are they?
First is self-cultivation. The Korean term is Jowasyand, which is basically about calming your mind. Think practices like meditation, focused breathing.
Okay, calming the mind. Got it.
Second is inquiry, or Younger's Gaze. This is about fostering wisdom and insight, thinking deeply, understanding cause and effect.
So cultivating understanding.
Right. And the third is mindful choice, Kwisa. This guides your actions in daily life, making ethical decisions, acting in ways that are helpful rather than harmful.
Calming, understanding, acting.
Exactly. And you can see how they build on each other, right? A calmer mind can lead to clearer thinking.
Which helps you make better choices.
Precisely.
So putting it together, the Ilwan Seng is kind of like the compass, always pointing back to your center.
Yeah, the true north.
And the threefold study is like the exercise program, the training, to help you actually get there and stay balanced even when life gets chaotic.
That's a great way to put it. Compass and exercise program for the mind.
What's really striking, though, is that even if you're someone who doesn't identify with any religion, maybe you're atheist or agnostic, you could potentially still find these tools useful, couldn't you?
I think so, absolutely.
You could interpret the Ilwan Seng simply as a symbol of your own inner peace, or maybe life's inherent balance.
Mm-hmm. Your own inner resources.
And you could use the threefold study just as a practical method for personal growth, cultivating calm, thinking clearly, living ethically. It sounds quite similar, actually, to how mindfulness techniques are used in modern psychotherapy.
Exactly. That accessibility, that focus on practical application, that's really key to why One Buddhism seems to resonate with such a wide range of people today, including those who might normally be quite hesitant about anything labeled spiritual.
Well, this has been a really insightful exploration. Thanks for breaking that down.
My pleasure.
So just to quickly recap for everyone listening, we've looked at how One Buddhism can be a genuine resource, sort of a hospital for the modern mind, by first integrating its principles right into everyday life.
Right, making practice part of your routine.
Second, by its incredibly open and inclusive stance towards all beliefs or lack thereof.
That non-judgmental acceptance.
And third, through those practical tools we just discussed, the Ilwan Seng symbol and the threefold study framework for finding mental clarity and balance.
And that emphasis, again, on bringing practice into the daily routine feels so vital.
Mm.
It's not about waiting for some, you know, far-off mystical experience.
Right.
It's about nurturing your well-being in the small, ordinary moments of your day.
So the takeaway maybe is, if your mind is feeling overwhelmed, stressed, anxious, remember, you don't have to just power through it alone.
Mm-hmm. Don't suffer in silence.
Yeah. Just like you deal with a physical ache or pain, maybe consider taking small steps to care for your mental state. Even starting super small, like 5 minutes of just focused breathing or consciously noticing a few things you feel grateful for, that can be a really positive first step.
It really does reflect that original intention, doesn't it? Great Master Soda-san founding One Buddhism all those years ago, specifically trying to provide a path towards healing and meaning relevant to the challenges of modern life.
Yeah, a century ago, but still feels incredibly relevant, even for the biggest skeptics listening. Maybe One Buddhism offers a different kind of map, a different set of tools in that search for wisdom and inner peace.
It's an invitation, really.
An invitation, exactly, to explore this mental gym for yourself without any pressure to sign up for specific beliefs you don't hold. So thanks, everyone, for joining us for this deep dive.
Thank you.
And now, just a final thought to leave you with. Given One Buddhism's focus on finding peace right here in the middle of your daily life and its really inclusive approach, how might intentionally connecting with your own internal center, that idea like the Ilwan Seng, how might that actually change how you navigate disagreements or handle stress, both when you're scrolling online and in your face-to-face interactions? Definitely something to mull over.